That's Jeff, Julie, and Juanita. Let's hear it for them again. Well, once again, thank you so much for being here. I want to thank Mark Berry and Mary Ellen back at the sound booth. We've got Reverend Joe Sloan in the house with his wife, Lynn. Hi, Jerry. How are you? Thank you so much for being here. So much to be grateful for on this three-day weekend. So, 22 years ago, I walked through those double doors with my daughter, who was 4 then. She's 26 now. And I had no idea the journey I was about to be on. I came here because, many of you know, Religious Science was in a book that I was reading by Louise Hay. She was a minister, and I wanted to know what she did, because I needed to heal the body, and the body started to do that. So I found this place, and I came. And when my daughter and I walked in the door, we saw that there was only a child care. There was no Sunday school. So before I knew it, we had started a Sunday school up there in the loft. Why is this vibrating? It's me. Am I vibrating? No, it stopped. All right, so we started a Sunday school up at the top. And this one particular day, we were coming down the steps. I had a class of about 12. Remember Jerry? He had a couple kids in that too. So we were coming down the steps. And I told the children, do you remember why we need to be quiet when we're coming down the steps? And this one little girl, she was cute as could be. I can't remember what her name was. She looked at me and she said, because people are sleeping. True story. I kid you not. So today we're talking about the silent wisdom. That is the wisdom that lies within us. That place of the very most high that will never do us wrong. It's always with us. John and I lived down on Oak Avenue in Citrus Heights. And it was a very busy street. And a lot of noise and a lot of people and a lot of vibration, a lot of energy. And on Thursday nights, he would go to work at the club car. And I would come home from work. We were like ships passing in the night. And I would walk into that house and close the door. And he left my gentle spa music on that I love so much. And the lights were dimmed. And I had my water fountain was just going. So when I closed that door, I had stepped into the chamber. The chamber of silence where I could go to that peaceful place within me. A few weeks ago, we were asked to create a title of a talk for ministerial school. So I thought, okay, well, I'll see what Spirit wants me to say. And I went to my prayer chair and I sat down and I said, well, what do you got? And the Spirit said, silent wisdom, right away. Oh, that's so good, silent wisdom. What do you want me to say? You know what I got? Silence. So I sat down and I thought, well, it'll come. And I sat down to write this talk on silent wisdom. And I wrote everything out, my bullet points. And, okay, this is good. And I can read from here and I can read from here. And I looked at it and I thought, man, this is garbage. So I put it aside. And John kept telling me, you know, there's something else that's going to come. Something else is coming. And at that point in time, back at the ranch, John and I were very, very busy people between his work and his gigs that he does after work, and we had responsibilities and tasks. I was taking classes. I was teaching foundations. At work, I had new programs, less gratitude. Personalities were colliding. We had the Newcastle event was coming on, and, of course, Crystal was getting married, my baby. Not a baby anymore. I did have to tell him during the wedding, though, she was all his now. It's not mine anymore. The older they get, the more expensive they get. All right, so we had a lot of people that we were dealing with, and our town is 153 years old. You think that there might be a few personality collisions in that. There were, kind of like the Hatfields and the McCoys. I kind of discovered that. So during this time of busyness and personalities and the stretching of our wings and dealing with all sorts of things and places and ideas, I had this issue about 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke up. Anybody else? 2 a.m. for some reason seems to be the time when we wake up, or at least I do, and every problem of the world needs to be solved at that moment through my head. Anything everybody ever did to me, comes front and forward in my mind, and it has to be solved now. So there was a lot of that happening. We discussed in my foundations class faith. Either you have it or you don't. It's like being pregnant. Either you are or you're not, right? You can't just have a little bit of faith. Either you trust in the divine to have everything work out smoothly and the way it's supposed to, even though it's looking otherwise. Or we don't. And when we don't, we come from this place called the head, which is what was happening with me. I started to want to solve things with ideas in my head. I forgot about spirit. And everything that I would ever have to know comes from that divine space. Did I step into that chamber of the silent wisdom? I did not. I tried to solve things with my head. And the more I tried to solve things with my head, the crazier things got. And the more I couldn't sleep, I had to call a practitioner. I just wanted everybody to get along. Every single one of us are individualized personifications of the Father, Mother, God. That means that no matter what situation or circumstance may look like at any given time, that we are one with it. But because of the way that we were raised or the people that we've met or the things that we've done since birth, we're individualized personalities, right? We're not all the same. I wouldn't want us to be all the same. Otherwise, what's the point, right? Okay. So back to the talk. I went back to my chair on Monday morning. Now I'm really frustrated because Spirit hasn't given me any idea about what my talk was supposed to be about. Although John kept telling me it's got to be about these people and the craziness that's happening in our jobs, in the community, in school, and everything that we were doing in the wedding. Oh, dear goodness, in the wedding. So I sat back down at my chair, and I opened up my book. And this is the book that Ernest Holmes wrote, Living the Science of Mind. And every day I sit down and I read a new chapter. Well, I got to the chapter, turned the page. The name of the chapter was Getting Along with People. So the universe took a little while to tell me what he needed me to talk about. But this was it. You know, we cannot change people. We cannot fix people. We can't make someone do something that we want them to do, because they're their own personified expression of spirit. If we see something that's not going right in our lives, it's about us and the way that we are perceiving it. It has nothing to do with the other person. We can't fix anybody else. We can't change anybody else. But we can change what we're expressing. We can change how we're seeing things. Once we change the belief, right, we can change the outcome. We need to learn to meet people exactly where they're at. Now, I learned this a while ago with regards to prayer. Because if I have somebody come, we're all from all sorts of different types of religions and spiritual philosophies and backgrounds and things. And if I try to come at you, you come fresh in from another completely different philosophy from a Catholic church or another organization, and I sit down and try to do five-step affirmative prayer with you, you're going to look at me like I'm crazy, right? We have to learn to meet people where they're at, whether it's in prayer or whether it's just what they're expressing and learning to do in their own lives. Ernest Holmes says that we must be with others, enjoy them, and act with them without in any way seeking to control their actions. Can't help what he's doing. I can only help what I'm doing. You know, in small towns and work situations, we have unique personalities. We have the Hatfields and the McCoys. But it's not about them. This whole lesson was about myself and learning how to work with them, not coming from the head, but coming from the center of my being. We can always create something new. We don't care about what was, what's happened before, but we do care about where we're going. We do care about moving towards healing and the restoration of love. No matter what situation or circumstances has looked like in the past, it doesn't matter. As practitioners, we find that old belief, we eradicate it, and we fill the hole with a new belief. As long as we're holding on to old stuff, we'll never be able to move forward with new things. You know, Esther Hicks was talking, I don't know, I was listening to a CD of hers a couple weeks ago, and, you know, she was talking about the things that we want to see happen in our life and the things that we want to see show up. And the more that we want these things to show up, the more we're feeling that we don't have them. And because we're feeling that we don't have them, that's what we're going to see show up in our lives. That's what we're going to receive more of, because that's where our feelings are, no matter what it is that we say that we want to have. So no matter who we are or what we're doing, these are the things that we need to remember. We're either going to move forward or we're going to stay in the past. We're going to be the person we were or we're going to be somebody else. Jesus talks about being born again. He talks a new birth, a new outlook on life, a new relationship to those that are around us. Even to ourselves. Isn't it natural to want peaceful and harmonious relationships? It is in my life. We look at people sometimes that want to be nasty or difficult or upsetting, sometimes just plain old difficult to get along with. Why do you think that is? Where is the hole inside of them? What is missing? Do you think that comes naturally? Do you think that it makes them happy to be difficult? Well, sometimes we think it could. Actually, I could think of a person or two. And I'll tell you, I need to remember that truth about them. Because when somebody is showing difficulties or upsets or fears or rejection, whenever they're showing those things, it's because there's something else that's going on inside of them. And we sometimes want to just react and talk back to them instead of understanding where they're at. Can we get anywhere? Maybe. Sometimes. Maybe not. It's not for us to learn. It's their journey, isn't it? And if they weren't there in front of you showing that expression of themselves, would you be learning what you need to learn? There will always be those with different ideas and opinions. Remember that their ideas are perfect for them. And that someone else's ideas don't necessarily have to meet our plan, because we are that individualized personification of spirit. God is in everyone, in me, in you, in different paths to get to the same place. Ernest suggests this. He calls it his own method. He said, just forget it. Forget all of it. Forget the past. Forgive yourself and everyone else for ever doing anything that has ever happened to you. Everyone is doing the best he can, and we're all God. We're getting back to the true center of our own being. That's from Ernest. He got it. He absolutely got it. Okay. Well, what I think that I'd like to do now is close with meditation. You guys okay with that? Meditation? So what I'd like you to do is close your eyes. This is a meditation from Ernest Holmes, our founder. Allow the chair to support your being. Breathe in deeply and just allow it to flow back out of your body, leaving behind whatever it was that it took to get you here this morning, knowing the blessings are supporting you, holding you up, directing you. Spirit is ever present in that small, still voice at the center of your being. It will never do you wrong. And know with me that because I am one with God, I am one with all people. Because I am one with life, I am one with everything that lives. I feel my union with people and with nature. I feel that I belong to life. I love life, and I enter into the joy of living. I enter in companionship with others, into cooperation with them. And I know that something within me reaches out and embraces the whole world. Something within me blesses everything it touches, brings life and happiness and joy to everyone. Something in me acts as a healing balm, restoring everything to its natural and native perfection. As I silently listen to the spirit within me and think of its perfection, I know that I am being born again, born into joy and hope and gladness, born into love and faith and assurance. Silently, I release every negative thought from my mind. I loose it and let it go. And I too pray that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Namaste.